Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs unto death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with folly. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches, and in vain have I kept my heart clean. I washed my hands in innocence, for all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a weary task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall in ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terror. Like a dream when one wakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and arrogant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you, but for me it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of your works. So far the reading. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is good all the time. You might have heard this expression before. You might have used this expression. It is one of those expressions that originates in American evangelical Christianity. For some evangelicals, it is a part of worship. The minister says, God is good, and the congregation responds by all the time. But is this statement biblical? Or to ask it another way, is this statement true? Is God good all the time? I would answer with a conditional yes. I use the word conditional because two very important things must be clarified for this statement to be true. The first thing that must be clarified is that this statement only applies to Christians. God is good all the time to Christians. Are to say it with the opening words of Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. The second thing that must be clarified is the definition of the word good. If you define the word good to mean prosperity, then it is not true that God is good all the time. If you define the word good in terms of being healthy, happy, then it is not true that God is good all the time. And if this is what you believe about God, then ultimately This will lead to a crisis of faith in your life when you experience adversity from the hand of your Heavenly Father. That is the story told in Psalm 73. The Spirit of God leads Asaph, the chief temple musician in the time of King David, to write a song about a believer's crisis of faith in a time of adversity. But the song does not end with crisis of faith. It moves beyond this because the believer comes to the right understanding of what it means that God is good all the time. This afternoon, I proclaim to you the wonderful confession of Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to the pure of heart. One, first point, seriously doubting this because of your envy. Two, confidently affirming this because God's sanctuary. The first point, serious doubting this because of your envy. Are there some children here who know the story of Joseph and his special coat? That's good, because it will help you to understand the word envious. Joseph's brothers were envious that he was their father's favorite son. It's not just the coat that they were jealous of. No, they were envious of the fact that Joseph was the favorite child. To say it another way, they were jealous. Kids, have you ever been jealous? Have you ever been jealous because somebody had something you did not have? In Psalm 73, you meet a child of God who admits that there was a time when he was jealous. He was envious. And who was he jealous of? Look at verse 3. He was jealous of the wicked. Why? Because they had something he did not. They had prosperity. The word prosperity in verse 3 translates a Hebrew word that you may have heard before. It is the word shalom. Shalom is a word that we often translate as peace, because it is the root word means whole or complete. When your relationship with someone else is whole or complete, then you have peace. Meanwhile, when your life is whole or complete, then you have prosperity. Your body is whole. That is, you are not sick. Your bank account is whole. That is, you are not poor. Your work goes well. That is, you have not all stressed out. Your life is marked by shalom. The child of God in Psalm 73 was jealous of the shalom of the wicked. They had something he did not have. And in the verse 4 and 5, he describes for us their prosperity. In verse 4, he writes, "For they have no pangs unto death. Their bodies are fat and sleek." He is envious because there are no pangs unto death. What does that mean? He looks at the wicked, and he sees that they do not have to struggle with terminal diseases. They don't have any kinds of health problems, no cancer, no heart or lung problems, no anxiety or depression, quite the opposite. Their bodies are fat and sleek. We might not think fat is something to be jealous of. What this means is their bodies are healthy and strong. Furthermore, verse 5, they are not in trouble, and others are, they are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. The word trouble in verse 5 refers to the dark and painful side of your daily work. You work hard, but you don't get paid much. You plant fields, but the crops fail, or the floodwaters come. The wicked are free of such troubles. The fields yield bumper crops. Their assets grow. They always buy low and sell high. In the words of verse 12, they are always at ease. They increase in riches. They live at ease and not facing the burdens common to man. They live at ease. not plagued with human being like other human beings. They never seem to be stricken with adversity. The hand of God does not touch them for ill. The child of God sees all this, and he is filled with envy. He is envious of their shalom. And it leads to a crisis of faith. Why? Because that he sees in his life and the life of the wicked are not fit with the confession. Truly God is good to Israel and to those who are pure of heart. He seriously doubts this. He seriously doubts this because he is pure of heart. He is devoted to God with all his heart. He loves God with his entire mind and with all his strength. He walks on the path of righteousness. But yet, he does not experience prosperity. Rather, he experiences adversity. Verse 14, for all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. Yet, when he looks at the wicked, he sees that they do experience prosperity. They have pure of heart, and yet they have shalom. They are proud and defiant, speaking against heaven, and yet they live at ease. They completely reject God, and yet they're healthy and wealthy. And the confession that truly God is good and pure of heart no longer rings true to him. He's no longer sure he believes it. His heart is embittered, and he becomes vexed in his mind. And instead says, truly God is good to those who are pure in heart. He says in verse 13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands of innocence. Have you ever felt that way, beloved? Have you ever felt that it was completely useless to love God and with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, because in the end his hand was against you? You love him, and he sends you adversary. You are the one with the struggles that lead to death. You are the one who has a child whose body is neither healthy nor strong. You are the one who knows the dark and painful side of work. You're the one who wakes up in the new day and feels his hand of God rebuking you. And then you look back over the wicked and you see their prosperity. And you wonder, what is the point? And your heart seizes with envy over their prosperity. This is the cross. This is the crisis of faith captured in Psalm 73. Yes, a child of God can have serious doubts. In this case, serious doubts about the confession that truly God is good to the pure of heart. And that crisis of faith is illustrated in verse 2. But as for me, my feet have almost stumbled, my steps nearly slipped. The child of God walks the path of righteousness. The child of God walks the path of faith and trust in God and in his goodness. But when the same child of God experiences serious doubts and God and his goodness, it is like slipping on muddy path and nearly falling over the edge. It is like nearly losing your foothold and falling over this side of the mountain. In that moment, all seems vanity. Nothing makes sense. Grief and bitterness grip your heart and soul, and you nearly lose your faith. Nearly. Please notice that word in verse 2, together with the word almost. Because of his jealousy of the wicked, his feet almost stumbled. His step nearly slipped, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because true God is good, and those who are pure of heart. You can continually affirm this because of God's sanctuary. We come to the second point here. Confidently affirming this because of God's sanctuary. confidently affirming this because of God's sanctuary. The movement from doubt to affirmation in Psalm 73 hinges on the action of the child of God, described in verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Entering the sanctuary of God is a pivotal point and movement in journeying between crises of faith described in the first 16 verses. That leads to the question, why? Why does entering the sanctuary of God lead to a whole new perspective? Why is he able to let go of his envy and confidently affirm that God is indeed good to those who are pure in heart? Because in the sanctuary of God, he met God. He met the God who is good to those who are pure in heart. With the reading of the Bible, he reminded that it means that God is good. I think of the passage in which God the Lord speaks to Moses that he will cause all his goodness to pass in front of him. So what is the goodness of the Lord? Exodus 34, verse 6 through 8. The Lord a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, for forgiving our iniquities. Truly, God is good to such who are pure in heart. This does not mean that the pure heart can expect to only experience prosperity. That is where he and we go wrong. It means that we can expect the experiences of mercy, grace, and faithfulness of the Lord. In every moment of our lives, whether in prosperity or adversity, at the same time, the child of God is reminded that God's goodness does not extend to the wicked. God does not leave the guilty unpunished. He will be by no means clear of guilty, because he meets God in his sanctuary. His perspective on what he sees changes. He says of the wicked in verse 17, "Then I discern of their end." What is the end of the wicked? The Lord's punishment. After everything is said and done, he understands that the shalom of the wicked is temporary. It is fleeting. It will not last. It will not last because God is just. God will set them in slippery places and make them fall to ruin. God will destroy them in a moment, utterly sweeping them away by terrors. And so, as he meets God in the sanctuary, he understands why. Why he should not be envious of the wicked. He is envious of them is to be ignorant of the faith. The truth about this final destiny, nevertheless, to be envious of them, it is to be ignorant of the truth of what is meant, that God is good to those who are pure of heart. So what does it mean? It means two things. First, that no matter what you experience in life, your covenant God is always present with you. To your adversary, you are not alone. He is always with you, holding you by your right hand. In uncertainty and doubt, you are not alone. He is always with you to guide you with his counsel. When you are struggling with your health or plagued by human ills, you are not alone. He is always with you as your strength of heart. Even though your heart and flesh may fail, even though your loved ones may be sick and dying, even though you face the troubles common to man, you will confidently affirm that God is good to those who are pure in heart. You will confirm this because God is with you. And to have God with you is far more important than having prosperity. When you come into the presence of God, you are reminded of this truth. When you come here for worship on Sunday, and you hear him proclaim in the singing and in the reading of Scripture and in the preaching, you will learn to say with verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" And there is nothing more on earth that I desire besides you. Beloved, don't be envious of the prosperity of the wicked. For you see, they don't have what you have. And what you have is far more important than what they have. What you have is God with you for the sake of Christ. This is not temporal. This is not fleeting. It is forever. And that brings me to the second thing. It means that God is good to the pure of heart. It means that your end is to live with the Lord forever in glory. Verse 24, "After you will receive me to glory." Glory? What is glory of God? It is the presence of the Lord. It is experience eternal peace and prosperity in his presence. No one will struggle with your health. No more struggling with your health. No longer will you have to carry the burden common to man or to be touched by adversity from the hand of God. Brothers and sisters, such surely God is good to his people. There may be moments in life when you seriously doubt this. Maybe you are in this place right now, and yet you are here. You are here in the sanctuary of God, and as you meet God here in this place, you can understand why your life should not be consumed with envy. Because others have prosperity you don't have. For what you have through Jesus Christ is more important than anything else. What you have is a Father who loves you with everlasting love. What you have is the Father who is always with you because he is faithful. And then no matter what the circumstances are in life, you can say God is good all the time. Amen. Let us sing in response Psalm 73, verses 7, 8, and 9.